where we bring you thought leaders from around the world so you can share their inspirational stories and empowering practical tools on spirituality, mindset, self-love, being master of your own reality, purpose, business and lifestyle, and so much more. Everything from these beautiful people is so heart-centered and so freaking wise and so damn valuable that people usually pay really big bucks for their coaching. And I bring it to you for free so that you can have the most inspired life possible. So listen ahead for our latest guest, and I'll see you on the other side.
Hello and welcome to another episode of An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and purpose by embracing our divine essence. And we have Anastasia Holland on the show today, and we're talking life and business in your own unique divine way. Anastasia is a psychic strategist, a business mentor, a writer, and a self-worth warrior. She believes that self-compassion is magic, that we don't need to be fixed, but instead nurtured, encouraged, and let loose. Her work is committed to reminding you of your power and that you can absolutely do business and life in whatever way you choose. We had an incredible conversation, and we actually, it's so funny, we had the conversation while I was in Nice in France, and I am recording these intros and outros while I'm in Mykonos. So it's really such a beautiful example of how you can live the business that you love in your own unique divine way. But we covered amazing things like Anastasia's very personal journey from low self-worth and an abusive relationship when she was younger to being the world-traveling and life-loving psychic business coach that she is today. We talked about why we don't receive the whole divine vision for our lives from the beginning, the hollowness in manifesting all you desire without the internal fulfillment. We talked about how to balance being the creator of your life versus surrendering to the divine. God, that is one I have learned so much this year. We discussed games that you can play to really feel your divinity in your body and have a knowing of it. We talked about why releasing attachment to our desires truly creates magic. Anastasia revealed the hard truth behind her soul purpose journey in business. And the one question that if you answer no to means you're probably pretty damn close to your soul's purpose. That one's pretty cool. We discussed what Anastasia did that really made the shift for her from having a side business to an abundant soul purpose and lifestyle business. And what she shares on that is pretty incredible and inspiring. And we also discussed how Anastasia's rapid success led to a primal desire to self-sabotage that we all face and how she grew through it. I know you are going to love this episode. I love this woman. I love what we discussed, and I cannot wait to share it with you. So enjoy.
Thank you so much for being here, beautiful. I'm so glad that we finally got the chance to connect. And I think that the timing is phenomenal because you've just gotten back from a holiday, or I don't know, maybe you call it a pilgrimage as well, in Bali. You're living in the mountains right now, and I am in the south of France right now. What incredible lives. Like, if you had told your high school version of you that you were living this life, what do you think she would have said right now?
Oh my gosh. I mean, so a big part of my story is how traumatized my high school self was. And she was in an extremely abusive relationship at that time. And her self-worth was just, I mean, I felt like a shell of a person. Like, I didn't feel like I deserved anything. And I remember just thinking, like, why do I even exist? And at that time, it was just like, am I going to stay in this relationship forever? Is this my life forever? That was my scope. Mm-hmm. And so if I were to tell her that this was her life, I mean, there's just no way she would have believed it. Mm-hmm. And I always say, like, my college self wouldn't have believed it either. Like, she was on a whole other track somewhere else. And so to say that I do psychic work and I travel the world and I get to do what I love, I mean, I wouldn't have believed it for a second. So, I mean, I feel super grateful.
Amazing. And I think you really touched on something there in that some people are like, why can't we just be given the map, you know? And I think because the divine plan that our soul has for us is so large that we couldn't comprehend it right now. I am sure that the vision that my soul has for me is so much bigger than I can comprehend. And I know this every time. I know this because every time that what I thought I wanted falls away, yes, the thing that I am given next or shown next is so much bigger. And it scares me and excites me at the same time. Have you found that too?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, chances are if you're listening to this podcast that your life is like rapidly accelerating and yesterday can look so different than today. Like I always tell my clients, like your life can literally drastically change in a day and everything can be different. And I find like, yeah, like you said, like everything that I've asked for, I get it in such a more different and expansive and beautiful way that I could have never possibly imagined. And even when I look back on myself a year ago, like I'm completely different. Like I'm changing so much and it's a little bit of what I asked for, but it's so much more than what I could have expected. And it's crazy. Yeah.
Yes. And I always say it's like everything you never knew you always wanted. Like yes, you don't know that is what will bring you the most joy. And so I had a bit of a crisis of faith earlier in the year where I was like, I'm an epic manifester. Everything that I desire has come true. This is amazing. And then it all fell away. And it's now brought me to a space in my life where, and I knew this, I was aware of this, but it still hurt at the time. But it's now brought me to a space in my life where my life is better than I could have dreamt back then. But it's like we cannot know what will make us the happiest. And like, yeah, we just have to trust in that process. But it scared me. I thought, okay, so all of this manifesting that I've learned how to do, how much of that works? Like how much is free will? How much is destiny? How much yeah would we want the free will? Like my mentor said to me at one stage, and I found this so profound. She's like, you don't want to be a better manifester than the divine. And that was yeah like, whoa, yes, yeah, so yeah true.
Yes.
So how do you manage the manifestation and wanting to be the creator of your life and knowing that you deserve to be the one that sets the rules and that you can do that, and the desire to surrender to what we can't even know is better than what we could manifest?
Yeah. So I would say my relationship to manifesting was never an easy one. And it's just now in my life where I've really connected to that nectar of, whoa, I can have everything I want. And that recently has almost, it's been a big journey of almost creating a hollowness, because it's like, okay, if I can have whatever I want, like, why do I not feel like so fulfilled? And I've literally gotten in my life, like everything I've asked for. And I hit a point, like say my business is doing really well and my relationships are amazing and I'm able to go wherever I want to go and I have the privilege and freedom to wake up every morning and listen to my intuition. I no longer have to go to a crappy job. And for the past 2 months when that all started happening, I didn't really feel any different. And that was a big shock for me, and realizing that it's not so much about getting everything, it's about going inside and creating that internal fulfillment in a much deeper way. And so manifestation looks different to me now. Instead of like getting all the external things, I really want to manifest peace and safety and trust and just really good feelings within myself. And that's almost another layer of manifestation, I think. But to answer your like whole free will intention setting, like I think that's confusing for a lot of us. And I think we don't all really know how it actually works, even though we all say like the law of attraction is a law and it works this way. And I find even doing psychic work is that these laws and the way that the universe works is always expanding and always changing. And none of us really know how it works, if it's what sort of ratio it is of free will and intention setting. And I think it's different phases in our lives. I think sometimes free will is really important and a lot of action is really important. And sometimes sitting back and receiving and watching it come to you and flow is really important. And sometimes a super awesome blend of both. And I think it really depends on where you're at. But I find it really important to talk about is before everything came together, and I just want to say to your audience, like, one day it'll all come together. So just know that, like, it will. Probably not in the way you expected it to, but good things will start happening, is that you have to go through a phase of healing and feeling and shedding and going through a death. And that's just as much as a part of the manifestation process as writing down the intentions. And so in that phase of when you're shedding and feeling and going through a lot, like, abundance isn't coming as easily. Like, it all is, it's hard, and manifestation isn't easy. And you'll write down, I remember every full moon and new moon, I was like, I want to fall in love, I want this, I want that. And it would, like, never come, and I'd be super disappointed. And then I was like, oh, I need to get back to that person who has joy and freedom and abundance no matter the external circumstances. Mm-hmm. And that meant healing all of my pain and trauma. And then I did that, and I'm still doing that. And then I started getting everything I wanted. And then there was another layer of, whoa, all these external things aren't going to fulfill me. What is actually going to fulfill me? And I believe for most people, it's a connection to the divine and God, and then a connection to our true selves. Mm-hmm. And that's really where I'm at right now. And that's where manifestation is for me right now, is I understand that everything I want will come to me, but I'm not really concerned with it as much anymore, because I really trust the universe right now. And that's for the first time in my life, I really feel that way. And that trust has almost come from having to go deeper because the external things didn't fulfill me, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That was probably a lot that I just said, but
I love it. I love it so much. It was this, like, complete channel of just whatever needed to come out at the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you on that. My interpretation has been that it's my role to be as fearless as I can be, to, like, meet my fear and see my fear and be as courageous as I can be, and to actively pray and create my universe with the knowing that the way that I do that is through my feeling state. And so my focus is on my feeling state as much as possible, to the point where if all I ever did was just feel like that on the inside, that I can shift my feelings so easily, then it doesn't matter what the external world is doing. But I know that that also then means that the external world creates, like, absolute magic all around me. And and being on this trip has been such a clear example of that. So I do the heart coherence practice by HeartMath. I think originally were the ones who recommended it, several times a day. And I would really, really recommend that anyone who hasn't done that, like, get on that, because it's so simple and so profound. And so I do that constantly. Like, as much as I realize that I'm out of my heart, then I come back into my heart. And I walk outside the door and I meet someone exactly who I know that I needed to meet at that right. Like, it's so profound, the perfection of the universe. And it just has blown me away. And that comes from focusing on my feeling state and letting the universe decide what will bring me that feeling to, like, you know, the law of attraction, what will bring me more of that. I let the universe decide that.
Yes. Yes. Love that. Oh, yes. My best days are the ones when I am very intentional in that way. And when I look at the world as a clue to myself, like, everything, every encounter, every experience, every bird that flies by is a clue and an opportunity to go deeper into myself, into my connection to the universe and to God. And when I, because I'm definitely not perfect. I definitely have days where that's not happening.
No, what? Are you serious?
But the days when I can let that be let that happen, that's when I feel the best. And that's what it's all about for me. So I'm so happy you brought that up.
Mm. And yeah. Do you ever play like little games with yourself to do that? So I went dancing the other night and everyone else is there like drinking alcohol and like trying to hit on each other. And I went dancing with the divine and I just practiced like imagining that I was literally holding like the divine as I danced and just like, oh, so good. Or like I walk through the streets and I'm like, you are God and you are God and you are God. Like I play little games with myself to feel it in my body and know it as truth rather than have it as a mental concept. Do you have anything like that?
I definitely try to be intentional about looking at people as God and as their true essence. I think because I am so sensitive, I take on all their pain first and I take on all their life story first and I get so overwhelmed by that. Mm-hmm. And the practice of looking at people like God and seeing them more on a soul level has really shifted that for me, of just not being, in my younger years, it just turned into judgment because I would get so much of their information and just judge them. And I still struggle with that right now. It's just really seeing someone for who they are, seeing all their tendencies and just kind of like, I don't know about that. And so I do that. But more on like a fun level, I like to play with the universe in a sense of like, if you show me this, then I know it's true. And then those kind of things always happen. Like, and they'll happen unexpectedly. Like, show me a few pennies today and then I'll forget. And then I'll see two when I'm walking and I'm thinking about something really amazing. Or I love just like catching patterns and then asking for the patterns. And that's an awesome way to develop your psychic abilities, is just to notice the patterns that show up in your life and then also request them and see that you've almost like predicted it. Because I think our desires and our requests are almost predictions in themselves. And it's like, yeah, I love doing that. So I have other things, but I can't really think of them right now. So.
I love what you shared, because I feel like you do the same thing as me in that I act like I have an imaginary friend. But of course it's true, but I have an actual intimate connection with the divine that I didn't used to have. And I find that as I'm traveling, particularly, I'm alone a lot of the time. Yeah. And I don't feel alone. Like I walked down the street and I saw a feather, which is one of my like, you are on the right path signs. Yes. And I saw the feather and I was like, ah, you're so hilarious. Or I was at the airport, the very big like trip, 35 hours all the way over here. And I spent a lot of the time really trying not to be afraid that my luggage was going to be lost. I just had this When I looked at the woman, as she said, yes, it will go on all of these different flight transfers, I was like, I don't know if I believe you. And I spent so much time working on like clearing that so I could still have my luggage arrive. Yeah. And I got there and I stood at the carousel and I waited and my baggage didn't come out and then it stopped. And so everyone's baggage had come out and I thought, oh my God, universe, I really tried hard on this one. Like I really didn't want to believe this. And then I look up and I'm like, oh, it's not even my flight. And I look over and my baggage is the only one on the carousel on the other side. And I laughed so much. It was just like, it's an actual, like, the universe is playing jokes with me and like having a sense of humor and loving and supporting me at the same time.
Yeah. There's something really interesting in what you just said that I want to address, is that we usually get what we ask for. And this, you can look at this just in like dating, like really simple. The second we're okay with like accepting that maybe we're not going to get it. So like you may have had a moment where you're like, oh no, my luggage isn't happening. But then it's kind of going into your nervous system that like, okay, well, I'm not going to have my luggage, you know? And then it's like, oh no, never mind. You're going to get your luggage. And I think that's a bigger testament to life in a sense that like, if we can become okay with our biggest fears, like our just sitting with that and letting it take over our whole body, that's one of my favorite practices, is just going towards my worst case scenario. Cause I deal with a lot of anxiety. And the root of anxiety is fear, and sitting with that, like the worst thing happening and like, okay, I'll be okay. Like I can handle it. And when you're in that place, if I can handle it, that is when the magic happens. Like, cause you're not as afraid anymore. Like, and when you're not as afraid, like you can do anything. And that's when anything can come in too. So yeah, I love that.
I love that you pointed that out, because I really was standing there going, all right, well, if my luggage is lost, there will be a divine reason for it. And so almost now, because my life has shifted so much in the last 6 months, particularly, I almost now am always in the state of, well, if this is what is happening and it is, then it must be perfect. And
yes,
I find that that's where we can invite in so much more magic.
Yes, totally.
So I want to go back to something that you shared before about when it all comes together, and it will. And I saw you post something about this on Facebook and I loved it so much. So can you tell me, I think especially in the field that you and I are in, there are like a year or 2 years where you're working and you're sharing and you're like giving so much and coming up against so much fear as you're doing that. And it's like this dream that you can see and it hasn't materialized and you need to keep working on that. Can you tell us about that process first? Because so many of the people listening want to be abundantly living their soul purpose and are afraid of that process or doing that process and coming up against fear. Can you tell us what it was like to live that actually first, and then we'll talk about the shift?
Oh yeah. It was all the things. I was in that for about 3.5 years of business. I knew what I wanted to do, but it wasn't working out. And so I had to work crappy job after crappy job that barely paid my rent. I had to work a bunch of hours, and I went through these tendencies of just quitting them because I was like, this isn't what my heart wants. I'm just going to quit. I went into a bunch of debt, and then I had to start over, and all while building my business and all while trying to keep faith and trust that one day it was going to work out, like everyone said. And it was really, really hard. But I remember seeing one of my mentors speak, and she was like, if you don't have any other idea of what you're supposed to do, and you only have one, then that's what you're supposed to do. And because I kept thinking, I think that what's really normal is when you're building this business and nothing is working, you think, should I do this? Is this, I'm stupid. Like, I'm wasting all this time, all this money, all this energy. Should I even be doing this? It's not working out, and it's working out for all these other people. And when she said that, I was like, but I don't have any other idea. I don't have any better idea. And I even tell my clients now, I'm like, what's your next best idea? Do you have another one? And they're usually like, no. And I'm like, just do that. That's what you have to do. And when I heard that, I was like, there's something clicked inside of me. Like, this is all I've got. And so this is what I'm going to always try at, even if it never works, because this is who I am. And I really believe it's important to talk about that, those years of when you're building and learning and going through all of that, because that's an initiation. It's a process in itself, and that you heal so much in that. And if you didn't go through that, you couldn't be the teacher or the coach or the entrepreneur that you are once you've gone through that. Like, you just can't offer as much value. Like, if you were to just get the success right at the beginning, like, you wouldn't have anything to share or teach or encourage. And it's so much a part of the journey, but I know what it feels like when you're in it and you're like, fuck this journey. Like, I want the money. I want the abundance. I want what I want. Mm. And my only advice for that is keep going. And I love what Danielle Laporte has recently started talking about, is that, you know, it doesn't work out perfectly for all of us. And I think that that's a thing in the self-help community, is that, like, we think it's going to work out perfectly if we do X, Y, and Z, if we show up in a certain way. And there was, for a couple years, I was showing up perfectly or doing my best, and it wasn't working out. And that's okay, because it pushed me towards the work I'm doing now. Like, if it were to work out in that moment, I wouldn't have been doing the work that I'm doing now. And so it might not work out in the way that you think it's going to, but it will. Life life will work out for you to be the best version of yourself, if that makes sense. And that's what I mean by that, is that, and usually that means making a lot of money or making enough money to support that. If you're very, very clear on that's your number one priority, then if it's your number one priority to live in your truth and to be the fullest expression of yourself, eventually the universe is going to speak in cash flow and it will help you and you will be supported. And so when I say that it will work out, that's what I mean, is that it will if you're committed to that. But we all have our own karmic path and we all have life being thrown at us, and that shifts and changes us. But without those things, we wouldn't be able to be the teachers or the coaches or creatives that we're really meant to be. So my biggest thing on that journey is that the journey is necessary, and the more and more you accept that and surrender to it and juice it for all of its nectar and its clues, the faster it accelerates the process. So,
Yes. And I think there's such a thing of like, well, I don't think I'm good enough yet. Or, if I do that, then what if they realize that I'm a fraud and, you know, I haven't actually created the success that I want in my business yet. So how can I help other people? When you're first starting out, it's such a big thing. And I really love what you said about knowing that you need to go on this path so that you can share. Like, if we didn't have challenges come up, how would we find content for what to say in a video? Like, we have to be living exactly the same sort of stuff that our clients are living, just like having just come out of it, so that we can go back, like just extend out our hand, like we're just here, we extend out our hand and we're like, here, let me help you across, because I just fucking walked that track and I know exactly how to do it. And if we were the Dalai Lama already and we were trying to help people just understand their spirituality at the beginning, that wouldn't work. It's too big of a gap. Like, we need to get okay with wherever we're at is going to serve the people who are just around wherever we're at. That's so important.
Yes, 100%. And sometimes, like, because I believe experience is so valuable, and I think it's almost in this age of instant gratification, and especially in the self-help community, of like, you can have what you want and you can have it now. And like, there's almost even the language around the self-worth piece of like, it's just a self-worth issue. Like, charge what you're worth, like go for it, do what you need to do now. And I love what you said about like, you can start now, you can do what you need to do now, but you're not going to be Danielle Laporte now. Like, you're not going to be one of those people now. So make sure you're in integrity of where you're at now and serve from that space. And then you'll keep growing and you'll keep serving and you'll keep, you'll be attracting more aligned clients and just more money, and you'll grow and you'll gain experience. And so much about that journey, that beginning phase, is gaining experience and gaining knowledge and getting comfortable working with clients. And in the beginning, I worked for free, and then I worked for low cost, and then I slowly raised my prices. And I really believe in that journey, in a sense that, like, yes, we all have our true gifts inside, but like, to be an amazing writer, even if you're naturally gifted, to be your best version, you have to write every day. And it's kind of like that with coaching or anything. It's just like, you have to practice and you have to gain experience. And there's immense value in letting time run its course.
Okay. So wait, yes. I love all of that. So then when did it start to shift? And what had you done just before that, that created that shift? Because I feel like almost we go along and we go along, and then one day we just decide, fuck it, I'm all in. And then that's when it really changes. So I'd love to know what your perspective of that is.
That's exactly what happened for me. I was making, my business was slowly growing, but not enough to fully support me. And this all just recently happened for me, actually. So, in January, I knew my lease was up in Berkeley in March, and I was in a job. I was selling organic rice. I was an outside sales rep for organic rice, and I knew, I was like, it's time for me to quit my day job and never go back to a day job. Like, I just knew that inside, and I knew my business. I was like, my business is, it's there. It's going to happen. And, but I was like, I need to do something radical in order for it to happen. And so I did an online summit, and I was, it was something I was thinking about for a long time. About self-worth and money and what I needed to hear when I was first starting my journey. I really wanted to know, like, how do these people make money? What did they do in the meantime? Like, did they work day jobs? Did they go into debt? Like, what's the money story? Like, because I was struggling with money so badly in my early years. And I was like, you have to create this. And I asked the most amazing women to do it. And I think because the project was in such integrity and it really came from my heart, it just blew up. It did beyond what a lot of summits are even predicted to do. And I just, clients started coming in and my entire schedule booked. And then I was like, I want to launch a program. And I launched a program and I made a bunch of money really fast. And then I went through a huge upper limit problem and totally like self-sabotaged myself. And just, I've just coming out of that. Like for the past 3 months, I've been like just scrambling to understand what is happening in my reality because it just went from zero to 500 in a matter of like 4 months. But what really shifted it was, and I've been thinking a lot about this recently because I was like, was it my beliefs? Was it, what was it? And it was a time. And I think that has a big part to do with the manifestation process is when it's frickin' time, it's time. And that's when it all happens. And so to your audience, like there will be a time when it's time and trust that because it will happen. But two, I worked my butt off and I created a huge project. And when you create something big and you put a lot of energy out, energy has to come in. It's just, if it's from the heart and, cause you can create things with the intention for money to come in and put a lot of work in it. But if you're just with the intention to make money, it's that it might not happen, but it came so deeply from the heart and I just put my all into it and I got all of it back. And that's been a huge, just, my life has radically changed in the past 6 months. And I have just been, just recently am I able to feel it and experience it and be like, I can relax. Like I've made it. And, of course there's all the fears of, can I do it again? And all this stuff, but like, just it's crazy what can happen if you really decide to go all in. So that's what happened for me as I decided to go all in.
Amazing. Thank you. And I love that you talk about, that it came from the heart. Like you genuinely wanted those answers and you wanted to share them with other people.
Yeah.
And I find that that's how we can tell if it's guidance or if it's our head. Our head is like, how can I make money? What could I do? Blah, blah, blah. And then our heart is like, this would be fun. And then that's when it just flows and the results are incredible. Yeah.
Yes. It always comes back to what would I do anyway, even if I wasn't making money. And then there's the other thing. I mean, it's kind of like Danielle, I'm always quoting Danielle Laporte. She says all wisdom is a paradox, but like, then there's the other time where you have a day where not all work feels like I love to do this. Like it is a business and it is a job in a sense too. Like it's a way to make money, but usually the place you come back to is I would do this anyway, even if I was homeless, like I would record my YouTube videos because this reminds me of who I am. And when you're coming to that place from that place, like eventually it will work out and you'll be supported. So,
Yes. I heard something. I wish I could quote the person, but I can't. I think that he wrote a book about like the millionaire, spiritual millionaire or something like
that. Oh yeah. I think I've heard of it.
Yes. And he said, and he might've even, I don't know. Okay, guys, I do not know. I wish I could credit this, but I can't, but they said that, someone said, I make movies, for example. Oh, Walt Disney, I make movies so that I can make more movies.
Yeah,
I want to make money from making movies so that I can make more movies. And I, like you, I do podcast interviews and I speak and I coach. Well, I guide. I don't like to call it coaching. And I do all of these things so that I can keep doing all of those things. Like there is nothing that I can imagine doing in my life that would give me as much fulfillment as what I'm doing. And so I make money out of it so I can keep doing it. Not that we're doing it to make money. And that is such a key difference and hard to remember when you're an entrepreneur who's like, I just want to make money out of this business and I need to make money so that I can do it. You just need to come back to what is it that you want to be doing and do that and do it with love.
Yes.
Yes.
And I had a friend once tell me, she was like, Anna, you can make money doing anything. What is it that you actually want to spend your time doing? Because you're going to be spending a lot of time doing it. And just a little words of advice for people on this entrepreneurial journey. It is so normal to think that you like doing something, put all your energy into it, make money from it, and be like, that didn't fulfill me at all. I don't really want to do that. And when people are in that point, they freak out and they're like, oh no, none of this is going to work. And that's the divine moment of like sinking back into, what do I really love? All of that happened for you to come back to, what do you really love to do? And that's all of life is for that one question almost. And how can we love each other too? But like, it's just know that all roads are leading to back to, what do I actually love to spend my time doing? And how can I do it? And you can be supported financially from that. And all roads are going to lead to that anyway. So you might as well start now.
Yeah. The second almost that I actually started to make money and was feeling abundant in my business, where I coach people on how to add events into their business model, I was like, oh no, this is not, like, I need to do something else. I could feel I could feel it, but I couldn't have gotten to the next step if I had not done that one. So if you're feeling like you want to do this, just do it and then see what happens. Like, just do it.
Yes. Like, I'm in that spot right now with my business. I created this program and, you know, it's not exactly the way I'd want to do it. And I'm finishing it out, but I'm like, next time I'm going to do it completely differently. And there's other things I'm working on and right now and just trying my best. It's the next fear growth edge. Like, I'm afraid we're always afraid to be more and more of ourselves. It's just, that's what we're most afraid of. And if we can just step into that, it doesn't seem like we'll be supported, because usually they're the most kooky, weird ideas. Like, why would I ever be supported in that? But if we can go towards it, it's crazy how counterintuitive it is, but we are just more and more supported. So,
yes. So before we finish up, can you talk to us about what your upper limit looked like once you made it and how you did try to self-sabotage and what you about that?
Yeah. So my upper limit problem pretty much looked like all upper limit problems, which is...
Wait, just before you go on, I want to say, if you haven't heard of the upper limit problem, get The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. It blew my mind and was like, holy shit, I've been doing this my whole life and I never knew.
Yes. Yeah. And basically, just to sum it up for your audience, is like, we have an internal thermometer for success and that we're comfortable at. And if we succeed that or exceed that, our entire body, our psyche, everything in us just wants to go back to where we're comfortable. So we start to go into self-sabotage and we do all these other things to bring us back to neutral, to where we're comfortable. And for me, for a lot of people, that looks like spending all the money that they just made and or their body just going into full shutdown mode to just be sick so you can't work. And for me, I hired a coach really instantly. So I spent a good chunk of money. I didn't spend all of my money. I was smart in that way, but I spent a good chunk that I wasn't necessarily comfortable with. I did that right away. And then my mind just cranked up with negative self-worth talk. Like, it was just like, you don't deserve this. You're a piece of shit. Like, da 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 da. And that, just after so long, it brought me to bed. Like, I just couldn't. I was like, I don't want to do this work anymore. Like, this isn't even worth it. I literally wanted to burn my business to the ground. I was like, F this. I'm done. I don't want to do it. And so I let myself be in that for a little bit. Like, I still maintained my clients, but I felt like I was kind of dying. And I surrendered fully to that. And then I felt like physical crap. I was really tired. And it took me a while. I was really, really burnt out. And I like to say that upper limit problems aren't totally just 100% a problem. Like, I think there is wisdom in it, because for us to reach such an extreme upper limit problem, it means we're burnt out in a sense and something went wrong along the way. And so I really, once I kind of got over the initial extreme stuff, I was like, what is this showing me? This is showing me I have a lot of self-worth issues still. This is showing me, like, I still think really negatively about myself. This is showing me that, like, the way I did that wasn't necessarily healthy for my body. And I was doing it in a lot of ways the other people did it. And I just used it as a way to teach me about how I wanted to launch next time and how I can, maybe that amount of money was too much in that moment for me. And how, maybe I want to make money in more like incremental stages every monthly instead of like huge chunks, you know, like how do I want to make money? And I really used it as a tool to teach me too. And, but it's so normal. And I haven't met an entrepreneur that it doesn't happen to, where you make, where you go from zero to 500 very quickly. And, or I made a lot of money and more than I ever made. And it was a shock to my nervous system. I just literally couldn't handle it. And, that's so normal. And it's, I didn't know about it. Like, I didn't know an upper limit issue was an issue until it happened to me. So that was like, I was like, what the F is happening to me? Like, I just made all this money, all my dreams are coming true, and I'm freaking out. And then I researched, I read that book, and I realized what was happening to me. And so for your audience, if anyone, if you're in that right now, like, it's normal, it will pass, but you have to take care of yourself. You have to nourish the one who's experiencing all of that to then come out of it and to be strong again. So
And one last question, because I can't kind of let you go without asking it,
yeah,
is how did you still show up for your clients while you were feeling that? Like, that must have triggered so much, like,
yeah,
I'm gonna show up as a fraud because I'm acting like this in one way. And yeah, I'd love to know how you manage that.
Well, I was, something I really like to do in my business, and I think that's what makes me unique or maybe more successful, is I'm really honest with my audience where I'm at. And I'm pretty honest with my clients. I'm honest with my clients too about where I'm at. But it's in that honesty and vulnerability that I am on my platforms that really allows me to be like, you know what? I can be going through all of this, but still be an amazing teacher. And actually the fact that I'm going through all of this makes me even more of an amazing teacher. And I'm really, really committed to my clients. And so even though I was dying, I knew that commitment. Like, I really believe in the work that I do and the psychic work that I do. And I trust that that's what I'm meant to be doing. And even though I had all of that, I was like, I made a commitment to these people. I'm showing up. And I'm going to do the best I can. And I did. And things are a lot better now. I would say I'm probably a way better coach right now than I was in that moment. But being really honest with your community and your clients is really important. And I mean, you always want to stand in the space of not looking like you're completely falling apart. And the truth was, I wasn't. I was breaking, but I wasn't. I was still handling it. And you can be going through horrendous things, but you can still show up for people. And that was a huge lesson in that too for me. And I think if you're honest with your community and you're truthful about what you're going through, like, people still want to work with you. It makes them want to work with you more. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I've been like crying over my breakup, and then half an hour later in a client session, and whatever I was feeling just before is exactly what I needed to be able to guide that person through that.
Yes.
And so I had to really learn how to trust myself and trust that when I'm in service, that is actually, it's like something shifts inside of my body and I am in fucking service, and there is nothing,
yes,
I do not care about that boyfriend. I do not care about whatever else is going on. I'm just there for them. And so we need to trust ourselves and that process, and like that emptying that happens when we decide that we are in service for that time.
Totally. And that comes with practice too. Like, you'll start to realize that, like, I remember I was going through a breakup. I just got in a fight with my ex-boyfriend, and then I sat down and did a session, and like, all was fine. I was like, doesn't have to be perfect. It's all okay. But one last thing is that our clients can only expand to the rate that we expand. Like, if they're a match to us and we're working with them on such that intimate level. So I knew that, wow, if I put myself through this, if I endure this, that's a service to my client. Like, that's like, if I just ignore this and don't fully surrender to it, like, my clients aren't going to get everything out of me that they could. And so knowing, so that when they go through their upper limit problem, I want them to have this self-compassion and the knowing that I had when I went through it. And so, like, they can only match us with what, if we're in that space of offering them wisdom, like, they can only expand as much as we expand. And so I really knew that too. And that helped me go forward as well. So.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I have loved this. It feels like, I love that you're sitting on a bed right now. It feels like you and I have just had this like big girlfriend soul sister chat, and it's been so real. And I thank you for your realness and your wisdom that comes out of just the realness. Like, it's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for just being an awesome space holder. You're amazing to just sit with. So thank you.
What an incredible episode. I loved chatting with Anastasia, and I'm sure that you did too. So if you felt like you received an aha moment or some kind of insight, or even just that you feel better having listened to this episode, then I invite you to share this with somebody else, because someone that you love right now might be needing to hear or receive this transmission, and you can make a difference to them just by hitting share and telling people about it. If you feel like going over to iTunes and giving us a 5-star review, I am so up for that as well. But most especially, if you want to join a group of lightworkers who are discussing these kind of topics and really supporting each other, more and more, hundreds of us, then please come to the Lightworkers Rising Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/Lightworkers Rising. That's where you can join the tribe. But now I would like to also let you know that Anastasia and I didn't stop here. We kept talking, and we talked all about what really goes on behind the scenes in her life, the habits and the daily stuff that Anastasia does to make sure that she is the person that she is today and living the life that she is now. So we discussed Anastasia's morning routine, what she does before bed every evening, the rituals that she does throughout the day, her health and her wellness routines, and how she makes sure that she's a clear channel for her clients as well, and the books that have transformed her life. There is some really powerful information in that one. So I invite you to check out the secret episode. That is at www.aninspiredlife.com.au/secret. And you can get access to Anastasia's one and all the other secret episodes that I have ever done so far. Right there in the same place. I love you all. I love being able to do this for you each week. Thank you so much from here in Mykonos, and I look forward to chatting to you next week. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the An Inspired Life podcast with me, Kiara O'Leary. I'm so excited to be guiding you on your own journey of living your own version of an inspired life. Head over to aninspiredlife.com.au if you want access to more inspiring stories, tips, tools, frameworks, anything that I can possibly give you that will help you live a more fulfilling life. I've put on there, and so much of it is free. And there's also empowering life solutions from the Sacred Business Academy, taking it from an idea to your life's work in only 11 weeks. So I hope you can head on over to aninspiredlife.com.au and find something that will help you and guide you for where you're at right now. Thank you. My name's Kiara again, and I am so grateful to be guiding you on this journey. See you next time.